Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for this review of the news. And also there was a question by Fintranat on the revolutionary phenotype, so let us answer it. He says in DM on Discord, can you help me understand something? The queen is the quantum of inheritance. That is true, that is how I defined it. Of course, that would be a gene by the standard naming. The queen is a gene, but it's the smallest gene possible, therefore it's a single letter of DNA. The replicator of which interest do not perfectly correlate with the interest of another replicator, a selfish replicator. That's an interesting way to define it. I've never used those words, but to think of the queen as being defined by the fact that it's ultimately separable from other replicators and therefore its interests do not perfectly correlate with the rest, it's a nice way to define the queen. I really like it, although it's not from me. You can find a little bit of this idea in Dawkins, the selfish gene. This idea that the more you can break, the more... If two queens can be separated from each other through breaking of the DNA strand, then they are not perfectly correlated because they can potentially pursue their own existence independently. That is true. It's a nice way. In my book, I didn't have to go into these weeds because the idea of correlation of interests across the genome was not a theme of my book, but it's a nice way to define it. Then he says, the phenotype is the entire universe minus the queens. That is also true. It's also a radical definition, but I believe in it. Basically, there's no distinction between the environment and the phenotype, and therefore there is no environment. It's all a big phenotype, and the only thing that's... And by the way, it's an arbitrary notion, the idea that even the genes aren't part of the phenotype. It's just because we've defined genes that way. You could very well have an alternative theory of biology in which you say, no, the entire universe, including the genes, are the phenotype. The only thing you would have to do in that theory is rename things and rearrange things. You would have to say instead of genes transmit themselves to a new individual across generations, you would have to see it in the following way. You would say there are parts of the phenotype that copy themselves and they create other parts. And those parts of the phenotype that survive across time are those that are capable of copying themselves. But then you would have basically redefined genes as being part of the phenotype. But you can very well see your babies and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. All of them are part of your phenotype. It's because those things that survive and intergenerationally are phenotypes that have a way to copy their own phenotypes into the future. He says, phenotypic machine is a part of the phenotype that replicators use for their replication. it's, yeah, but not necessarily the, like my leg is a phenotypic machine. Now, it doesn't precisely get involved in the copying of my DNA in my balls, but in an indirect way, it does, because my legs allow me to attain a sexual partner in Mama JF and to inseminate her. So yes, everything is a phenotypic machine. As part of everything that's part of the phenotype can be seen as a phenotypic machine, and it's either a phenotypic machine that has no impact on the replicator's capacity to replicate, in which case it is probably going to disappear if it has some cost to it. Or it helps the replicator replicate, in which case it will be preserved as part of natural selection. And then he comes with his question. He says, you said recently, when talking with the samurai guy, that queens are not physical things. This makes me wonder, what does it mean to say that a queen mutates? Isn't it just phenotypic machines of the queens that mutate depending on what kinds of queens are driving the phenotypic machines rather than the queens themselves mutating? Doesn't mutation imply physical stuff? Interesting questions. It's all very, it's weedy and it's all details, but the devil is in the details, so let's address them. It really doesn't matter. It matters on how you define mutation. The reason I said queens are not physical things is because you need to forget the idea that DNA in and of itself has it in itself to be a replicator. It doesn't. Because you take a DNA strand here on Earth, you put it on the moon, you put it on Mars, it's not a replicator anymore. So my point when I say forget about the idea of replicator being things, they are processes, it's because the only sense in which DNA is a replicator is because we are on Earth, there's water, there's oxygen, there are proteins, and DNA produce those proteins that eventually lead to DNA being copied. That's the only sense in... So you can see the replicator concept as an intergenerational copying process. And, you know, in a world with printers, in office printers, papers become replicators. In a world where there's no printer, papers are not replicators. Or in a world where there's no scribe, letters are not replicators. So you have to understand the concept of replication as being the entirety of the conditions that Richard Dawkins gave to what is being a replicator. And it means replication, selection, and mutation. Now, you shouldn't be too annoyed by this. It doesn't mean a mutation happening on DNA isn't happening on the replicator. Because what happens with a mutation on DNA? Well, there are times where it's a mutation on the replicator. There are times when it's not. If a mutation happens in your brain, for example, in one of the cells of your brain, and the mutation targets a DNA strand there, it will never end up in your sperm, never end up in your egg. So you might as well say that it's not a mutation that has happened to the genotype, it's a mutation that has happened to the phenotype. If a mutation happens on the DNA in your balls and it does transmit itself across generation, then it's a mutation happening to not the replicator physical thing, but the replicator concept, because you have introduced a mutation that's introduced in the cycle of replication, selection, and mutation. That's how you should see a mutation, where it's a mutation of the gene when it affects the gene concept rather than the gene physical. Because the gene physical as being DNA, that's, as I pointed out, it's not enough, because the mutation may matter to evolution, it may not matter to evolution. So for your question, isn't it just phenotypic machines of the queens that mutate depending on what kinds of queens are driving the phenotypic machines rather than the queens themselves mutating? No, the queens are mutating, but it's not all mutations of DNA that can be considered a mutation of a true queen. Because there are so much strands of DNA that are not meant to pass the generational boundary. So it's just this. Now, when the DNA in your bowels or in your ovaries are indeed mutating, then the gene concept truly has been undergoing a mutation. A mutation basically should be defined as that which will be carried, a differential characteristic that will be carried in the next generation. Now, when I wrote The Revolutionary Phenotype, although I didn't introduce the ideas in the book, I had this perspective of, let's think of both the genotype and the phenotype as mutating. Okay, so I have a gene, it changes a letter, the letter gets carried in the next generation, that's a mutation. Let's say that the letter of DNA influences the color of your skin, maybe. Well, So the color of your skin has mutated across generation also. So what's the difference between a mutation of the phenotype and a mutation of the genotype? And that those are the thoughts that are at the heart of the revolutionary phenotype. What is the differential characteristic? What truly differentiates the changing of the skin color versus the changing of a letter of DNA? Is there something naturally fundamentally different here? Or are we just saying, oh, everything mutates, everything is the same, and everything changes across time, and that's evolution? And the idea of Richard Dawkins to come up with the term, well, he didn't really come up with it, but the whole promotion of the term selfishness is what is the true difference. There is a difference between a mutation to the gene and a mutation to the phenotype. For one, the mutation to the phenotype isn't carried without the gene. The mutation to the gene is carried without the phenotype. So here you have the asymmetry between gene and phenotype. A change to the gene affects the gene and affects the phenotype in the next generation. A change to the phenotype affects the phenotype, but not the phenotype of the next generation and not the gene of the next generation. So here you have it. You have the fundamental natural asymmetry between replicators and phenotypes. It's all about whether it's carried in the next generation, and it's all about whether that generation. So you could see phenotypes as mutating, but they are not mutating in the same way because they are not carried in the next generation. That's why, although it seems like a basic chapter, my chapter, The Forgetful Creamplex, chapter 7, it's a very important thing. The phenotype forgets. If you have an injury on your arm, your child will not have an injury on his arm. Although if he does gather an injury on his arm, because perhaps he has inherited your intrepid behavior, his injury will be different and it won't have been a copy of the initial injury that you had. It will just be another injury acquired in maybe the same circumstances. That is the difference between the replicators and the phenotype. And he says, doesn't mutation imply physical stuff? Well, mutation implies physical stuff, but when I said genes were not physical, I didn't mean that they didn't have a component that is physical. What I meant is, don't focus on the physical aspect of it. Focus on the process aspect of it. And once you understand gene as this cycle of replication, next generation, shows up in the next generation, survives, replicates again, survives, replicates again, then you're grasping the concept of a gene. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have to be implemented in a physical way. Of course it does, and therefore, of course, a mutation to it will be physical. So those are the answers to your question. I hope it addresses your question. Dermot Gamongo is on Entropy. He says, happy to catch a live show. Hello to all of you. Hello, Dermot Gamongo. LBRT sends a super chat. He says, how's your throat? Doing good, doing good. I'm not 100%. I'm maybe 98%. Maybe if you have very good audio, you are perceiving a slight difference in my voice still, but it's pretty much there. I'm healing very well. Thomas says, are we constructed by DNA? Yes, we are. Depends, of course, if you want to be very stringent on the definition of constructed. Some people will want constructed to mean made by an intentional agent. Of course, it's not what it is. DNA is not intentional, but in all ways, we are causally dependent on DNA. So we are constructed by DNA. If DNA wasn't there, we wouldn't be there. DK Shadow says, any mutations that doesn't get carried by the germline gets filtered out. Exactly. And so it might as well be seen as phenotypic, since it has all the characteristics of a phenotype. This is where the revolutionary phenotype helps us have a different view of the phenotype. You know how Richard Dawkins in The Selfish Gene, he had to say, well, okay, the cells in your body are replicators, but they are dead-end replicators. I say they're phenotypic. I say there's two things. You're either the replicator or you're not. And if you're not, you're the phenotype. So it's a little easier. I don't mean that the dead-end concept of replicators is bad, but I think there is some aspect that becomes misleading when Richard Dawkins says, well, your cells in your body are helping your bowels reproduce because they have kin relationships to your bowels. I don't think that's it. I think the cells in our body are owned by the genes in the same way any part of the phenotype is. It wouldn't matter if your cells didn't have a kin relationship. One proof of this are the red blood cells. They don't carry the DNA anymore. The DNA is kicked out because it's taking too much space. Yet the red blood cells are very much involved in our survival. So you don't need a kin relationship to explain how a phenotype gets subjected to phenotypic servitude. And that's where I think that my concept of phenotypic servitude is ultimately a deeper statement about biology than Richard Dawkins. Because Richard Dawkins has to juggle with kin concepts, and then you look at the ant colony and you end up saying, well, the sterile worker wants the queen to survive because it's a kin of the queen. You might as well say the sterile worker is the phenotype of the queen. So it's just as much as any non-DNA part of the phenotype, it wants the queen to survive because it's been shaped by natural selection to do so. Firestarter says, your conscious mind is a slave to your sperm? Well, yeah. I thought that was a basic concept here that we didn't have to review. All right, Amber Heard's legal team says she cannot pay settlement to Johnny Depp and plans to file an appeal. This is a strategy that is often employed by people who get sued. That's what I recommend to every man who ends up being the victim of false allegation, or if you end up being taken to family court, ensure that you have no wealth. And it seems that Amber Heard is trying to pull this on Johnny Depp, but it's very hard for someone like Amber Heard. If you can live under the radar, if you can have really zero wealth, then you can pull it. But Amber Heard, I'm sure she has luxurious apartments of all kind. I'm sure she's using money in her bank account. I'm sure she has stocks and that kind of investment. We'll see if she can successfully hide those from Johnny Depp. But for now, that's what our legal team says. On the question, is she able to pay the damages required by the verdict? Brett Huff stated adamantly, no, absolutely not. Well, the concept of a civil damage is that you owe it whether you have it or not. Now, the question about whether it can be repossessed, it's all about, does she have assets that can be repossessed if she refuses to pay in cash? And then it becomes a question of ability to pay. But this debt can follow her to her death. And if she was to die and there was an estate, and if the estate had any money, it would go in the pockets of Johnny Depp or maybe the descendants of Johnny Depp. So she can argue that she cannot pay, but if she accumulates any property in her name, it will be available to Johnny Depp. That is so great. Firestarter says, Amber is flat, so no asset. Is she? I haven't watched Aquaman, but I hear it's a crappy thing. Tillman says, JF, your analysis of the case would have been better if you followed the trial. The judge only allowed $350,000 for damages, not $5 million. Well, I said this yesterday, so fuck you. Fuck you for criticizing the show while not listening to the end. On Wednesday, a jury in Virginia, blah, 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 okay. So yeah, she owes $8.35 million, and they say that she has excellent grounds to appeal the verdict. She may have grounds, but I think it's a shot in the dark. It may work or it may not work, but Johnny Depp is probably very motivated at keeping this this decision in play, and I think that there was enough factual grounds in the trial to justify the decision of the jury. So I think that what you'll get at the appeal level is justices saying, well, we have to rely on the jury here. We have to respect the jury. Lendalt says, Amber can always complain about applied heavy systemic misogyny. Yeah, but I think we are at peak this. We've seen on the show that we were at peak trends this year. Well, last year, that we have a withdrawal of the trend about trends. And I think we are also past peak Me Too. And eventually, women who complain like this as victims and who want to promote themselves as victim, they're going to have to bring something better to the table. Because Aquaman sucked, as far as I can see from the trailer. And at some point, you'll have to justify why you live this life of artistry while sucking as an artist. I watched Top Gun. I watched Top Gun. I can review it now. If you'd like to support the show, press the dollar button below the regular chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. That's the right way to support the show. Or you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. I'm drinking water. Tillman says, JF, you just said Johnny Depp got $15 million. I said this yesterday, and it's true that the jury awarded $15 million to Johnny Depp. Then, by law, the judge... someone on the regular chat pointed out that the judge cut down the award to $350,000 for a total of $8.35 million net. And I said as much on the show yesterday. So fuck you again for not taking my first fuck you properly and going back to watch the show. I have provided this information. It is not false information to say that the jury has awarded $15 million. To Johnny Depp, but by technical regularities and laws, it got boiled down to $8.35 million. Fuck you. Now, if I may review Top Gun, are you okay, Tillman, or do you have any other complaints that you would like? Send them to the complaint department, all right? So Top Gun is a normie blockbuster, kind of interesting if you just want to watch a technical movie about planes, fighting planes and missions. It's really empty of any scriptural structure of any kind. So there's no script, there's no story. It's like, there's this bartender that I love, and oh, she's sailing a boat, and oh my God, she's kind of difficult. She's kind of difficult to figure out. But yeah, now I have to go fly my plane. And oh, there's this old guy that represents the old army guy. He's about to die, but I have to go fly my plane. So it's the story of Tom Cruise, who becomes an instructor for a special mission, and he flies jets like no one else, Spoiler alert, I will just reveal the structure of the movie because basically the structure of the movie is so small I cannot speak about it for 30 seconds without laying it out in full because there's nothing there. Tom Cruise takes a bunch of young upcoming army people, train them to be better flyers of jets. And it's just they're playing in the sky and whoo, I got you, and oh, you would be dead if we were on the field. And then there's some beach football kind of ha with normie music playing. It's like a normie hell. They're playing football with no shirt on the beach. It's really army dude bro type of crap. And it's like that there's some the kind of music you would expect in a normie football on the beach game. And then they do the mission, which is to fly extremely low and go to an Iranian site, I believe, of nuclear enrichment and send a first bomb, and then the two jets that are coming behind send the second bomb, and that's enough to blow it. And they have to do it ahead of time because they eventually realize that there will be uranium on that site very soon, so they want to blow it before the uranium comes in. It's all army stuff and tough guys just doing fighter jet kind of crap. And so the mission is initially successful, but they had to fly very low to avoid. There's the big team of anti of SAM missiles, surface to air missiles, and how they have to fly very low, and because they have to fly very low, they have to do very high G maneuvers, so they have lots of gravity experiences, and they end up succeeding. However, there's a whole cross, I save your life, you save mine type of thing because one guy is about to be blown by a missile, and Tom Cruise comes in and saves him. And then the guy comes back. Tom Cruise wanted to die by saving him, but the guy comes back to save him from an helicopter that was about to shoot him. And so that's like, I saved you, you saved me. Why are you here? You shouldn't be here. I wanted to save you and die for you. No, I came back because I want to save you and die for you. It's like, and then their only way to, because they parachute out of their jets, and the only way they can get back home, because they have no communication, is by stealing an old F-14 from the Iranians. Yes, there's the theme of preemptive war, because it's like, this is about to be a place where they enrich uranium. We want to blow it before uranium comes in, so we want to protect the environment. It's like, okay, so basically, you're telling me that I'm gonna blow a facility that has no uranium in it, basically. So why are we blowing it in the first place? So yes, they steal an F-14, and then Tom Cruise has the opportunity to show that even against a fifth generational fighter of the enemy, with the best new jets that are now superior to what the US can have. But Tom Cruise, with his American ingenuity, can drive the F-14 better, and he can successfully win against the more modern jets of the enemy, while escaping with the F-14. That's the movie. You can watch it. It's like popcorn, blockbuster, normie crap. There's some form of entertainment in the fact that, yeah, being taken with the camera, flying around with these jets at high speed, it is kind of the experience of a roller coaster a little bit. You do end up like, oh, whoa. But that's it. It's like 1 out of 10 level of entertainment for my heart, where my heart maybe was beating a single beat per minute faster. And the normies will love it. That's why it's the best. Somehow, this movie is the best-selling movie that Tom Cruise has ever done in its first weekend. Oh my God, how low is current cinema for us to be kneeling at the crumbs of what Hollywood can offer? OxyClean says, I was precisely as impressed with TG Maverick as JF. What does that mean, though? I said that it was a good movie, but that I'm not impressed. Firestarter says, it would be a good plot twist if the Tom Cruise character went crazy because there was no war with Russia and then tried to start a war and the new pilot has to stop him. Yeah, there were no plot twists, literally. The plot twist in this movie is, oh my God, Tom Cruise it comes to the bar and there's a rule on the bar that if you disrespect a lady, you have to pay beer to the whole army. And so Tom Cruise ends up having to pay free beer from doing some act of disrespect. And it's so normie bro of the army when the bartender just rings the bell and everyone is like, yeah, we get free beer. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I had not seen that many normie in a room since 1986. Holy shit. All right, what do we have on the news? A Latino slaughters 19 other Latinos and two whites, and the Independent describes him as a white supremacist who targeted and murdered black Americans. This is the most jaw-dropping, blood-libelous thing I've ever seen in print. A week after the horrific Uvalde shooting, where an alleged white supremacist targeted and murdered black Americans, Texas Governor Greg Abbott described him as the sheer face of evil. Yeah, to characterize this as a white supremacist against black American shooting is absolutely incorrect. It was a loner, Hispanic guy. The town is called Uvalde. You look at the victim names, it's all Hispanic names. This was not a thing of white supremacy, and it certainly was not a thing that was targeting blacks at all. US regulators sue Winklevoss crypto exchange Gemini over statements regarding its Bitcoin futures contract. The SEC and the US regulator are going after the potential fraud cases that may have happened in the crypto world. Another one here, DOJ charges ex-OpenSea exec with NFT insider trading. The US Department of Justice has charged a former OpenSea staffer with insider trading in non-fungible tokens by using confidential information about what NFTs were going to be featured on OpenSea's homepage for his personal financial gain. So the guy being from inside the o OpenSea is the market where people go to buy these NFTs. And him being part of the website functioning, he knew, okay, this NFT is going to be featured on the homepage. So he was buying them and reselling them at higher price, knowing that they were gaining exposure. That's absolutely insider trading. And it's great that they are going in the space of NFTs because you would do this with stocks, you would be committing an illegal act. But sometimes in the internet world, people tend to think everything goes, you know. I think it's good that people who clearly benefit from secret information like this, to openly scam the public, basically the market, I think it's fair that they get punished. How Christian nationalism perverted the judicial system and gutted our rights. Justice Samuel Alito's leaked draft decision, steeped into authoritarian strains of religious dogma, is a roadmap for further erosions of the liberties all American and Americans enjoy. That is absolutely ridiculous. The draft opinion by Alito of the Roe v. Wade stuff is not religious at all. It is an opinion about, hey, can states in America self-determine? It's really about to what extent can we let states be in America? That's the theme of the leaked decision. So no, it's improper to see this as a religious objection. Thomas says, JF, how do you feel about Trudeau's handgun ban? I've said it for the last 3 days of the show. I'm against the handgun ban, but it's not surprising. Because in Canada, there is no gun rights. You cannot even have a gun for self-defense in Canada. Please understand this. If you say, I want to self-defense in my home to get the gun, your application will be rejected. You have to be an Olympics sports enthusiast to get a gun in Canada. And you have to show the government that you're going to practice on a regular basis at a shooting range because you're that much of an enthusiast. So yeah, he's banning the handguns. I'm against it. But the handguns were basically already banned because you already had to have a story that is incompatible with self-defense to get a gun. The View is expressing their opinions on the world.
I have to say, I think this is because the Republican Party doesn't really have a platform that is in line with American values, right? When you really look at it. And when you don't have a platform, you do have to resort to fear. Mm-hmm. And this is just cyclical and it's out of their playbook. And I think LBJ said it best. He said, if you can convince the lowest white man he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice you're picking his pocket. Mm-hmm. Hell, give him somebody to look down on and he'll empty his pockets for you. Mm-hmm. And
That's all psychologization of the right-wing position, and it's precisely why there is so much disappointment with the left and hate to a certain extent. It's because the left cannot respect their adversary as not being grounded in fear, but being grounded in great principles of justice and fairness, and I won't take the guns from someone who's not committed a crime because someone else committed a crime. As someone was pointing out on Gab, someone was asking, how many deaths do we need to see before you take people's guns away? And someone answered beautifully, how many rapes have to occur before you cut your own dick? That's a beautiful analogy. There's no reason someone would go around cutting dicks, even if there were a billion rapes a day. There's no amount of rape that justifies systematically cutting the dicks of innocent people. And the same applies to firearms. Disclose.tv says, Biden to address the nation tonight about gun violence. He delivered primetime remarks of this sort only once before to discuss COVID early in his presidency. So I don't know if it's already started, but there will be a presidential comment on shootings. The fact is, Biden cannot make much happen about gun, so he's probably just going to try to convince Americans that he's doing something. But ultimately, it boils down to there's a Republican Senate. I mean, it's not a Republican Senate, but because of the filibuster, it's not a Democrat Senate either. And they won't have enough support to pass a very invasive law. So it's going to keep going. People will retain their gun liberty as long as the Democrats don't have full power. But what they'll try to do is they'll probably try to set the dynamics so that the Republicans are perceived as the ones who are causing these shootings through their gun rights. So they're probably going to try to set it so that the Republicans look bad for the next election. But I don't think they will succeed all that much. I don't think there's no amount of media smearing of the Republicans that will come to convince the American people that there's something wrong with gun rights in a significant margin. Because we're still at 50-50 on the surveys of should guns be restricted. It's not like there is a massive amount of normies that just need a kick. Gun rights are still very much appreciated in America. Fractalman says, red flag laws, i.e. literally anyone can make up something about you and preemptively block your right to own a gun. Yes, and they're a problem. I saw that CNN was bragging about the fact that there are red flag laws in Florida. And I'm totally alarmed at the fact that this is existing under a Republican administration. Because even if you were to if you had to have very good judges and they really apply it, really when there's evidence and solid evidence of a danger, and we have a recording of the guy saying he's about to shoot the school, eventually your system will get replaced by more leftist judges, and eventually the system will crumble to attack people based on a single statement by an ex, for example. Thomas says, Jeff, when you say normie condescendingly, do you deep down wish you were one? No, bro. Last time I've had a hint of a desire in my heart to be a normie, I was probably 6 years old. And, you know, I was uneducated about the world. I was, oh, maybe I should want to fit in. And then it went away and it never came back. So no, I'm really not trying to fit in. I'm really not pursuing social approval. And it's a nice way to live, by the way. If you can look at your life and be ready to die every day, be ready to disappear from this earth and know that the pillars of your realizations do not rely on what people perceived of it. They rely only on your own self-assessment of, have you acted honorably? Have you acted in line with your own interests and your own principles? And do you care about what you've done? And are you satisfied with the work you've done? If you start going into the social perception, you are in for being victimized, being kind of pulled in all sorts of direction, all sorts of morally compromising directions by society. So no, I don't secretly dream that I was a normie. I am truly using the word condescendingly without a hint of hesitation. But I'm fine with the normies existing. You know, it's like if you enjoy that kind of lifestyle, have lots of friends at your barbecue and just go for it. Just barbecue on, normie. In their totally not trying to kill us off news today, Tamagotchi children who don't exist could solve population problem. Virtual offspring could become fully accepted in society, would be cheap to raise, and don't even have to grow up. Look at the woman with her sunglasses and her virtual gloves and the virtual baby in hologram. Oh my god. This is going to catch the attention of a bunch of people. I mean, there's going to be a part of the community, the population, falling for it. But it's not a long-term sustainable way of reducing white reproduction or reproduction at all. What you're going to have is those people who are likely to be baited by this deceptive reproductive display will buy it, they will enjoy life, they will then die and disappear from the earth without leaving any descendants. And whoever is left on the earth will be somehow resistant to this technological offering. It's also on Zero Hedge. AI expert says parents will choose digital babies in the metaverse over real ones within 50 years. I can't wait to see people with their little cell phone and like, hey, JF, this is my daughter. She's an NFT. She's an NFT first class, like extremely talented in mathematics. She's on the blockchain. Look at a picture of her. Oh my God. An expert on artificial intelligence says that within 50 years, parents will opt to have digital offspring that only exist in the metaverse due to concerns over the environment and overpopulation. The prediction was made by Catriona Campbell, who is described as one of the UK's leading authorities on artificial intelligence. I have a question for Miss Campbell. Have you considered the evolutionary stability of this system? Inevitably, you're going to have, as is pointed out in the Sarah Connor's Chronicle, heaven as a hardware problem. That's what John Henry says, because I'm closing the end of my watch spree with Mama JF of the Sarah Connor's Chronicle, and it's fascinating. I will review the whole series once we're done. We're probably going to be done tonight because we have only one episode left, one of the best TV series in the history of time. The Sarah Connor's Chronicle, it's so unfortunate that there's only two seasons. I mean, there could have been 10 seasons of this. It was good stuff. Excellent stuff. But yeah, so you're going to have an accumulation of virtual baby representations on the blockchain or whatever it's held onto. And on the other hand, you're going to have a decreasing human interest in this because it will be called for the evolutionary bait that it is. Evolution will call this out. And evolution has found ways to make us survive all sorts of environmental challenges. That is not a problem at all for evolution. Within a generation, you're going to have a drop in demand for your thing. And within a few generations, it might totally disappear. Anyways. A crappy offering that is dangerous to the sustainability of certain populations of the earth, because unfortunately what I'm afraid of course evolution will handle this and we will evolve away from this technology, but what if certain populations are more likely to be attracted by this offering? What if white parents are more attracted by this offering than other parents? Then they will still have a demographic effect. I'm worried about that. Michael Avenatti, sentenced to 4 years for ripping off Stormy Daniels, tells judge he took stripper's case to take down a sitting American president. It's good he's going to spend even more time in jail. This guy had basically, he had offered his services to Stormy Daniels, had taken some money from her that was owed to her, and he didn't pay it to her. Absolute fraudulent guy. And yes, he had taken her case because he wanted to be this kind of independent lawyer going after Trump and trying to take him down. Well, he's going to spend now a lot of time in jail because he was already in jail for threatening Nike with smearing for extortion. He was like, well, if you don't do what I want, we might pull a story about your treatment of minorities. And amazingly, this guy got caught because this kind of extortion is quite common in America. I'm happy he got caught. LGBT charity advises people to avoid oral sex, have intercourse in front of a mirror, and use glory holes because monkeypox can spread via face-to-face contact. At this point, is it really necessary to even have sex? I mean, if you're down to, oh, well, I have monkeypox, the government is telling us that face-to-face contact would transmit the monkeypox. What if we fucked while looking at a mirror with a little angle like this? So I would see your face, but I wouldn't truly be face-to-face. Like, if you have monkeypox, I don't think the mirror will save you. Why would you need to have sex? Like, why don't you wait 2 weeks? Let the monkeypox heal, for fuck's sake. Anyways, this is what the society of hedonistic sex leads to. These people define themselves so much as the sex that they have and the sex that they want, that they can't even retain it inside while having monkeypox. California court, this was shared on the Discord. California court declares bees are actually fish. Oh my god, it's because the law on preservation of endangered species was mostly built around protecting aquatic fish, aquatic species. But then at some point of the law, it says, you know, by fish in this law, we mean also any kind of invertebrate. That's because when you're talking about aquatic animals, you may think about the fish that has a bone, that has bone, and so that's truly what we would normally call a fish. And then you have the sharks and the lampreys. But you also have swimming things in rivers that are not part of the fish by that description. There are all these invertebrates, all sorts of hydras and worms, and the legal, the law has decided to go very global and say, you know, by fish we may also mean invertebrates. But then the judge in this case, because this is a case that was facing the farmers and the government, where the government wanted to designate bees as endangered by this law, but the farmers were saying, well, the law wants it to be a fish. The bee is not a fish. The judge has decided that the bee is a fish for the purpose of this law because of this back door opened by the term invertebrate. So because the law says, oh yeah, you know, we can also define invertebrates as fish for the purpose of this law. Now it ended up that the bee is not an aquatic invertebrate, but because it's an invertebrate, it ends up being covered by the definition of the law. It's a bizarre twist, but it's what happens with the liberal, not liberal in the sense of leftist, but a liberal interpretation of a law can lead to extensive extension of what that law covers. What else do we have before we conclude the show? The deep state is in a do or die moment. Alex Newman warns globalists need to terrify everyone. Author of the popular book Deep State and award-winning journalist Alex Newman says the deep state globalists are afraid the world is waking up to the tyranny they are trying to impose on every country on Earth, including America. The deep state is in a do-or-die moment right now. They, the elites or predator class, recognize that they are now locked into this. If they try to retreat, there is no retreat. People are waking up at such a rapid rate that they are in a moment where they are going to have to go for broke and try to impose the whole agenda and damn the torpedoes and full speed ahead, or they are going to be in big trouble. Yes, a white-pilled view. But given the successes of the regime in the last few years, given how they've pushed the COVID stuff successfully onto society, I wouldn't underestimate their ability to win this in the long term. Definitely, they seem to be equipped in terms of penetrating government forces and influencing them. Dare Mitigamongo says, "Hey JF, what about the canceled debate? Did you reschedule? I sent a message to the Crucible, but he hasn't answered to me, but it's going to be rescheduled very soon." As soon as he answers. New York governor to raise age limit for semi-automatic rifle purchases, ban body armor. New York Governor Kathy Hochul and top state lawmakers announced 10 bills that have been introduced in both the Assembly and Senate that would tighten New York's gun laws following the mass shootings in Buffalo and Texas. The bills would raise the minimum age to purchase a semi-automatic rifle to 21-year-old from 18. But see, take for example, and this is the case in many places. I don't know in many states in America, but body armor is banned in a lot of Western nations. I'm pretty sure it's banned in Canada. But this is, at least for a citizen purchase, it's certainly not banned for the police. But I don't think I can buy body armor. But here you have a purely defensive item. You know, and they're banning it because they think the shooters are going to be wearing body armors and they're going to be harder to kill. But you end up depriving the entire citizenry of a good means of protection. You know, we were seeing the body armor bags, school bags. Wouldn't it be a great idea to equip children with this? But now it's probably going to be illegal in New York. Tim Cox says, guns don't kill people, body armors do. maybe that's the next slogan for the Democrats. But yeah, I find this absolutely scandalous. We should be able to not be treated by the standard of the criminals. We should be given the most defensive opportunities possible. Go away, says, damn, JF's voice is still croaky. Is this the 21st century equivalent of Beethoven being deaf? Will JF be doing his streams in sign language in 10 years' time? Well, go away, since you are so judgmental against me. I will not use my voice to talk to you before the conclusion of this show. I will use my sign language to say, bye-bye. Oh, it's not the end of the show because Forex Shark has sent a $50 super chat, but he sent it through a path that I didn't expect, but I just saw it now. So he says, not sure if you missed it or didn't want to read it because I sent through BSC. No, it's just that I don't have live updates of a donation through BSC. But I do thank you for the donation. Now, he says, figured streamers accept super chats and donations from all kinds of platforms on stream all the time, so it would be cool. What I posted was the following. Please make an attempt to debate theist, cellular biologist, Taylor. Taylor V. On the Emergence of Life. Taylor V. There's an English error in the word neurodegeneration in your Twitter bio. That's your specialty. That's your there is our Twitter bio. They write neurodegeneration rather than neurodegeneration. Sure, I will debate this woman on any subject. Does she have a strong opinion on the revolutionary phenotype? That is the question we have to resolve. So if you are on Twitter, go see Taylor V _ and ask her if she agrees that the revolutionary phenotype presents a valid theory of the emergence of genetic layers and the beginnings of life. If she has an opinion, I can debate her on this. I can debate her on anything else. Yes, it's going to be fun, but please change your Twitter bio. There's an error in it.